You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday, July 8th, 2024. Grandpa Dan streaming with you today, RadioAlbion.com, kicking off your work week. Believe it or not, Monday has crept up on us once again. I do continue to appreciate all of you who have not forgotten Sven Longshanks. We're going to continue putting our support links here on the Daily Nationalist page. I really do thank y'all, and we're going to continue offering our support to Sven, dropping him notes and emails, whatever method you choose to do. I appreciate all of you doing it. I know Sven does as well. And yes, I'm going to keep doing it. I'm going to keep bringing that up until the day, which I look forward to, when I can take those down because they'll no longer be relevant. Looking forward to that day. Hopefully that day will be sooner rather than later. Well, of course, it is, everybody in the U.S. knows it is election season, but it's election season, been election season, seems like all over the world. In the democracy realm, we got to have these elections, the most importantest elections ever, every single time. I don't know how many times I've heard that in my life. This is the most important election ever. I always point out how humorous I find it. So many of the people still buying into it here in the U.S., same people that pointed out, I would say correctly, how the massive voter fraud in 2020, and then there was voter fraud again in 2022, though that was a less high-profile election, so it didn't get as much attention. But the massive voter fraud in 2020, the in-your-face voter fraud, the same people that pointed this out, the Trump supporters, they're back at it again in the ditches. We got to vote harder for Trump. All the Trump brigade, we're gonna vote him in this time. I don't know. They never seem to square that circle about how you're going to do this in a system that's obviously fraudulent. Now, I'm not saying Trump can't get in there. I think the signs, the way the media is now turning on Biden and actually acknowledging what just a month ago was a conspiracy theory that he's senile and has dementia. Now the media has suddenly found this shocking revelation. I think, you know, then the Supreme Court's ruling and now a lot of these charges against Trump are on hold. All of this points to what I've been saying for a while, that Trump's been publicly, he's working on a deal to be selected. So I'm not in any way, shape, or form saying Trump can't get in there. It just doesn't mean what his supporters mean. Now, all of you know, I'm very black-pilled on the notion of voting. I'm not. I'm done with that. I'm not wasting my time. The older you get, the more you loathe the idea of wasting time because you become more and more keenly aware that you don't have that much time left. So you don't like doing things that are a waste of time. Also, I believe this system is completely corrupt and has no legitimacy. And voting in and of itself is lending legitimacy to the system. So I'm not voting. It's my choice. If it becomes a crisis stage where enough people are making those choices, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that they might mandate it. Like, they'll penalize you if you don't vote. You go to file your taxes. If you don't have this little stamp or whatever that the government gives you proving that you voted, then they're going to penalize you for it. I could see them actually doing that. And it may come to it, because the voting system, the voting, this quote unquote democracy thing, and the lie that the people have some sort of say in what their governments do and how their governments behave, it has become, like so many other things, such a blatant lie in your face that, you know, it's going to be, it's becoming harder and harder, I believe, to keep up that illusion. I'm bringing two stories to the table on this topic, both of them from RT. And we're going to go ahead and jump into these because, I do have two. So we're going, you know, we got a little bit of ground to cover. Mercifully, one of the reasons I like RT, besides the fact that they're about a better news source than what you're going to find out here, even though I'm not going to say they don't have their own issues. But one, just on a practical matter, one of the things I enjoy about using RT for these articles is they're short. Heaven forbid if I have to use something like a Wall Street Journal article that where they think that if they use a lot of words, it means they've said a whole lot of things. You spend 30 minutes slogging through a ridiculously lengthy Wall Street Journal article, and at the end of the day, they haven't told you anything. Likewise, sometimes I do use an article from the Daily Mail. But the problem with the Daily Mail article is, once again, they're lengthy, but you find out after going through about the first one-third of the article is all where the new information lies. The rest of the article is just a repeat of stuff everybody already knew. It's like they take old articles and cram them in there because, once again, they think a lot of words means they've said something. You slog through a Wall Street Journal article, spend 30 minutes finally get through this wordy thing, and you think about it, and they haven't actually told you a thing. So our first article, the headline of the article is 0%, zero, zilch, nada. 0% of Germans are very satisfied with government, according to a poll with a subheading of over 81% of German voters have expressed dissatisfaction with the government's work. We'll go ahead and get an article. Not a single German national appears to be fully satisfied with their government, the latest ARD Deutschland Trend survey has revealed. The country is currently governed by the so-called Traffic Light Coalition, which consists of Chancellor Olaf Scholz's center-left Social Democrats, SPD, the Free Democrats, FDP, and the Greens. According to the survey conducted on July 1st through 3rd, 0% of Germans said they were fully satisfied with the ruling coalition's work, with just 19% saying they were somewhat satisfied. If the democracy has something to do with the will of the people, then this poll tells us that the people are absolutely not satisfied with their government. This poll tells us the current German government has literally 0%, very little, we'll say very little support from the people. If democracy is the will of the people and the people have the say and the government is reflecting the will of the people, I hope these articles get out to other people that live in other parts of the world, which the West is constantly being hostile towards. For instance, like in Iran and places like that, so that at least the people there can understand. When they look at this and say, well, you're responsible because your government's doing it and your government represents you, you vote these people in. I hope they see this and understand that we don't have any sway over what our governments, our quote unquote governments, are doing in the West. Here we have this poll, and obviously the German people are not happy at all. And why would they be? They've been deindustrialized. And think about this, just a not that many years ago, they were the industrial engine. They were the producers. They were the EU because they were the only ones actually producing things. They were the engine driving Europe, driving the European Union. And now where are they today? The U.S. blew up their pipeline. They're deindustrialized. They're broke. They've been flooded with migrants. Their societies are falling apart. Exactly why would anybody? They said 19% said they were somewhat satisfied. What the hell are they satisfied with? gay pride parades. I don't know. I mean, what I look at the German, I look at Germany today and what the German government has done, and I can't picture, and again, I'm not German. Maybe I don't understand all of it. That's not out of the realm of possibility either, but I don't understand what would they be satisfied with. I mean, exactly what aspect of what they're doing, what would the people be happy with? Their economy, which was just a few short years ago the powerhouse of Europe, has now been gutted. Their social structure is coming apart. Everything is a mess. And now we have polls that are reflecting this. And yet, where's the will of the people? Why is this government even continuing to stand? The overall dissatisfaction rate with the government's policies rose to 81%, with 38% saying they were not satisfied at all. Again, where's the democracy here? Where is the supposed will of the people? Because what this poll tells us right now is this government in Germany today has zero legitimacy. They have no backing. For I remember when like a president would get elected here in the U.S. and they would argue over whether he got enough of a vote to have a mandate. Because if he won in a landslide, they'd say he has a mandate from the people. So the Congress will have to listen to him. Because maybe the Congress would be the opposing party. So they'd say he's been elected with a mandate. So the Congress is going to have to listen to the will of the people. That has apparently gone out the window in Germany. You have poll here showing that absolutely nobody, virtually nobody is satisfied with the German government. How are they still then being allowed to run anything? Half of the surveyed SPD and Green voters admitted they are now less satisfied with the government's performance. These are the parties that are supposedly representing them. Remember, we have these weird multiple little parties in Europe, which I used to think was an improvement over our two-party system. And now I'm more educated. I understand it's just a slightly different version of the same thing we have here. I used to say you people in Europe that have multiple parties, you have a better shot at getting some sort of will of the people drove through the government than what we have here with the fake Team D versus Team R. And I'd have Europeans from different European countries by man, you don't even understand. And they were right. Y'all were right. I didn't understand because I don't live there. Now I do. I better understand that it's just a slightly tweaked version of the same thing. The SPD and the Greens are the ones that are part of the ruling coalition. You know what I mean? Here in America, if Trump is in there and you have a Republican Congress, it doesn't matter how bad they're screwing their own voters over. Those voters will still sit there and say, well, it'd be worse if the Democrats were in there. So I'm still happy, even though they're screwing us over. Because they're more delusional, I suppose. But here, these are supposed to be the voters that are being represented. They're the ones that are, quote unquote, in power. And they're not satisfied with the government's performance. The figure is even more striking among other party supporters, with just 17% of Free Democratic Party, FDP voters, and 11% of Christian Democrat Union, CDU, and Christian Social Union, CSU supporters, saying they somewhat approve of the government's work. Some 96% of voters who back the new left-wing BSW party, formed by former left party leader Sarah Wagenschnitt, did a little German on you there, probably still didn't say it right, earlier this year said they were dissatisfied with the traffic light coalition, while none of the right-wing Alternative for Germany, AfD, party supporters said they were happy with the government's work. So you have these massive amounts, even among the voters for the parties that are in power, they're not satisfied. And if you go to the supposedly far left or far right, none of them are satisfied. Who then? If this government in Germany has any legitimacy whatsoever, who exactly are they representing? The U.S. That's who. They're representing the U.S. empire. That I don't know. If I'm wrong, tell me where I'm wrong. who the hell else are they representing? They're damn sure not representing the voters. Their own voters aren't happy with them. The voters that are listed as supporting these other parties aren't happy with them. The left wing is not happy with them. The right wing is not happy with them. Who the hell's left? Who are they representing? If democracy has anything to do with the will of the people, where is it? During the EU parliamentary elections last month, Scholz's center-left coalition suffered a defeat, coming in third after the Conservatives and the AfD, which led to the opposition demanding a vote of no confidence in the government or snap elections. The SPD party won just 14% of the vote, the worst result in decades. Scholz attributed his party's poor showing to voters' disagreement with military support for Ukraine and sanctions against Russia, but claimed that there's no alternative to changing that. I'm going to stop the article there because the last paragraph is RT's ridiculous habit of just giving you filler information that everybody already knows. But that last line really hits it home, doesn't it? Scholz attributed his party's poor showing, this is like a moment of rare honesty, to voters' disagreement with military support for Ukraine and sanctions against Russia. The voters don't want this. But then what is he saying? He says there's, quote, no alternative to changing that. He's saying the quiet part out loud. This should be like on banners hanging off of bridges in Germany. The voters are all wiped out the party. They're dissatisfied with their war agenda, which is being pushed by the U.S. These puppet governments are not, observably, from what we're reading here, they don't represent the people. And what does he say? Nothing you can do about it. Let that sink in. You supposedly live in the democracy values of the will of the people, and you go and vote, and it's going to change the direction of the government. And he's telling you, it don't matter. There's no alternative to that. There's no alternative. They're going to do what you don't want them to do, and if you don't like it, tough shit. Now, you tell me again, what's the point of voting? What's the point in voting, of adding legitimacy to a system to where here in Germany, they have no support. They have virtually no support from anybody. Nobody supports, they admit, nobody supports their policies, and they're like, well, there's nothing you can do about it. They're admitting it's an illegitimate system. It's an illegitimate government, and there's no correction for it. If you can say, well, that's just that government in Germany. Okay, then. What do you do to fix it? There should be, if democracy, this quote-unquote, what we're sold to us as democracy. I admit I'm painting with a broad brush here. But what they're selling to us as democracy, if that system does not have a corrective mechanism in it where this startling number of people are dissatisfied with the government, then it's a failure of a system. When the chancellor can sit there and say, well, nobody likes what we're doing, but you know what? Tough shit. There's nothing you can do about it. There's nothing going to change. It don't matter how dissatisfied you are. It doesn't matter who you vote for. If there's no sort of corrective mechanism that kicks in and no, the will of the people has got to take precedent, then you tell me, how is that a legitimate system? More on the same topic. We're switching over to the British. The British. As you all well know, the bloody Tories got BTFO'd by the equally awful Labour Party. Now, they're trying to paint this as a big victory for labor, which is not. People just got tired of going along. This is what it looks like. This is what it would look like in the U.S. if the Republican voters just threw up their hands and said, there's no point. We vote for these assholes and nothing changes. That's what you have. You've had decades of the Tories saying they're going to do something about immigration, and they never, ever do it. You have decades of the Tories saying they're going to do this, they're going to do that. They never do it. Finally, the people's like, there's no point. There's no point in voting for the bloody Tories. So you get the more liberal party now in the UK. You get the Labour Party. People know they're awful. They do. They know they're awful. But why vote for the Tories? You know? If your two parties are going to screw you over, and you got one party that says we're not going to screw you over, but demonstrably over and over again, they do screw you over. And then the other party says, when we get in there, we're going to screw you over. I mean, vote for the ones that aren't pretending, I guess. Headline of this story, new British PM assures Ukraine of unshakable support. You have this massive election in Britain, titanic political, tectonic political, tectonic shifting in the political landscape. And you're going to get more of the same. You would think the British Prime Minister would have a, you know, some other kind of agenda that would be more important. He's got to reward his voters, right? No, the first thing he's going to do is assure Ukraine of unshakable support. One of Keir Starmer's first phone calls after taking charge of the UK government was with Volodymyr Zelensky. London support Kiev, support for Kiev during the conflict with Moscow will remain at the same level under his leadership, the new Prime Minister of Britain, Keir Starmer, has told Volodymyr Zelensky. Starmer replaced Rishi Sunak as the head of the UK government on Friday after the Labour Party he leads claimed a landslide victory in a general election, securing at least 412 of the 650 seats in Parliament. One of his first phone calls in the new role was with Zelensky. Now, were the people voting, was the results of this landslide victory because people wanted more unshakable support for the Ukraine? Was that even on the ballot? Was the Labour Party going, vote for us, we're going to give you more unshakable support for Zelensky, who, by the way, isn't elected? He threw his elections out, and now he's just going to, I guess, rule in perpetuity until someone actually forces him out of power. I mean, Zelensky's not even pretending to be an elected official anymore. Hell, why are we pretending in the West? The Ukrainian leader wrote on Twitter, I refuse to do this X thing. You know, maybe it's just me being stubborn. One of the bones I have to pick with RT is they're still doing this X, parentheses, formerly Twitter. Like, nobody knows that. X is stupid. I mean, I don't know what kind of crack Elon Musk was smoking when he... Anyway, I'm getting off topic. Let's keep going. Nobody cares about that. The Ukrainian leader wrote on Twitter because, you know, he's in his green T-shirt. Out there, just out there on the front lines, fighting Russians in hand-to-hand combat when he's not globetrotting, begging for more money. He's sitting around in his green T-shirt in the trenches on a satellite phone, tweeting. He tweeted on Friday that during their conversation, he congratulated Starmer on becoming prime minister and, quote, wished him success in fulfilling the British people's expectations for the new government. I am grateful to Prime Minister Starmer for reaffirming the UK's principled and unwavering support for the Ukraine. You just got to be amazed at the audacity, don't you? Wishing him success in fulfilling the British people's expectation for the new government. I don't think the British people have any expectations, be honest. I don't see how the German people can continue to have any expectation when they basically flip you off and say, there's nothing you can do about it. You don't like it, but tough. What expectations did the British people even have at this point? Now, granted, I don't, you know, I'm not well versed. If Sven was here with us, he could give us the ins and outs of British politics. However, it doesn't appear to me, in my limited understanding of British politics, it doesn't appear to me that the Labour Party, what platform were they running on? Were they running on a platform of unshakable support for the Ukraine? So I seriously doubt that. from the way it appears for me, across the pond. Basically, the Labour Party, all they had to do was run on were not the bloody Tories that everybody is sick and tired of. They were just, basically, they won in a landslide on being not the Tories. According to Zelensky, he and the British Premier had, quote, coordinated positions ahead of the NATO summit in Washington, July 9th through 11th, and discussed ways to further strengthen the partnership between Kiev and London. Partnership. What exactly is the UK getting out of this supposed partnership? I guess he couldn't use greatest ally ever because that one's already taken by Israel. Starmer later shared Zelensky's post on his page, claiming... These are supposed to be serious people, serious leaders of governments, and they're sitting around, oh my gosh, I'm going to share this tweet. Claiming that Ukraine's ongoing fight against Russian aggression matters to all of us. Does it really? Because the German chancellor has admitted that the people, it doesn't matter to them, aside from the fact that they don't want to be doing it. These are connected, by the way. Yes, you're two allegedly kind of sort of different countries. They're all puppets of the U.S., but these are very related. They're both supposedly part of the freedom democracy of who we are world. And you've got the German chancellor who admits that people don't want any part of this, but tough luck. And yet, Starmer's here saying Ukraine's ongoing fight matters to all of us, but it doesn't. The will of the people, the people are voting that they don't care about this and don't want any part of it. Tough. When he says it matters to all of us, he isn't talking about the voters. He's talking about those in the government. That's who it apparently matters to, because it sure as hell doesn't matter to the voters. See, that's where you got to get down and parse their words. When he says it matters to all of us, he doesn't mean you, because you're not us. You don't get invited to his parties. You don't go hang out at cocktail parties with this guy and his hanger-oners, his groupies, or whatever the hell. You're not going to get invited. You contact your member of parliament. They don't give a crap what you have to say. When he says us, he ain't talking about you. You're not us. You're them. You're part of the problem. You're the other. They're us. Because it sure as hell doesn't matter to the voters. The UK's support for Kiev remains unshakable, the PM wrote, adding that he is looking forward to meeting Zelensky in person in his green t-shirt. Britain has been one of the biggest backers of Ukraine during the conflict with Russia, pledging £12.5 billion in support for Kiev, including £7.6 billion in military aid since February 2022. And meanwhile, people in Britain can't afford a house. Their national health care is in shambles. The Tories promised to do something about immigration. That never happened. So that's out the window. But don't worry. It got plenty of money for the Ukraine. Unshakable support for the Ukraine. Starmer becomes the UK's fourth Prime Minister during this period, after Conservatives Boris Johnson, who resigned in September 2022, Liz Truss, who set a record by stepping down on her 15th day in office, and Sunak, who headed the government until Friday. However, London's commitment to Kiev remained unchanged despite the changes at the helm. The more you vote, the more things change, the more things stay the same. You can change out these people to infinity, and nothing changes. And you're told this is a 100% legitimate form of government. Why are we voting? Why are we supposed to be voting? You tell me. Why? They admit it. You've had Boris Johnson. You had the laughable Liz Truss. Sunak. And now you got this guy. And guess what? Policy didn't change at all. They keep holding these elections because the people are fed up with what they're doing and they get the same result. There is a lack of feedback here. There's a failure in the feedback loop. The voting, the people that are still voting are sending a message that they want a change of direction. Just as Schultz said, it's too bad you're not getting it. This is demonstrated again in the UK. Why is that? These are two different countries. Maybe it would be different. Funny how you see the same result. You've got prime minister, failed government after failed government after failed government. They have to keep having a new election. People vote different people in. And guess what? You get the exact same thing. Doesn't matter. This is the voters frantically trying to, they're sending a signal. They're sending a frantic message to the system that they want a change in direction. And the system is ignoring this. They're refusing to receive the signal, the feedback. They're saying, nope, you're going to get more of what you want. This is a crisis of legitimacy for these democracy governments. It is, because now the mask is off. They used to pretend. They did. They used to pretend, well, the voters have spoken and we're going to take things in a different direction. And now they just come out and say, we're going to do the same thing as the last guys. This guy just got in there. He just walked into the office. And what's his first message? We're not changing a damn thing. I mean, I guess the fact that the Labour Party apparently ran on the platform of at least we're not the Tories. So I guess you're kind of getting something different because they are not the Tories. But when it comes to policy, nothing changes. The people are dissatisfied. The people are frantically pushing the button going, hey, we're not happy with this. We're not satisfied with this. We want to go in a different direction. We don't want to do a World War III with Russia. We don't want to keep sending, when we're all broke, we want to keep sending more borrowed money to the Ukraine so Zelensky and his cronies can stuff their pockets and put it in suitcases so when the day comes they finally get run out of this failed state that they'll be rich and set up in a mansion. So we don't want to do that. They're frantically voting and nothing changes. And now they're telling you. They're not even pretending. They're not going, well, we're going to propose legislation and really give the people something they want and then not follow through. That's what they used to do. But at least the people sit there and say, man, they tried. We need to vote harder next time. That's an amazing thing to me. They used to pretend. They'd get up there and say, we're taking the government. We have a landslide. We got a mandate. We're taking the government in a different direction. They'd do some cosmetic things on the surface to pretend like they were really doing something. And then, of course, nothing changes. It's the same basic principles we're seeing now. The big difference is now they're not even pretending. Now they're out and out telling you, well, nothing's going to change. We're still going to keep sending billions of dollars to the Ukraine. Doesn't matter. We're going to keep on ignoring the messages you're trying to send us. And that can't go on. I've long said people, including these people underestimate the importance of a government having legitimacy. They do. These people obviously are underestimating it. Those who came before them, they understood it. That's why they gave people window dressing stuff and pretended like, because they understood they had to keep the system legitimate. The people are frantically have sent these signals and they're flipping them off now in their face and saying nothing's going to change. So when that message soaks in and the people say, well, we're done with this. When the people all get to where I'm at now and say, well, I'm not going to waste my time voting for this. When they have an election and 5% of the population bothers showing up to vote, and then they run around trying to claim it's a landslide, and everybody starts saying, well, since this government is not legitimate, I really am going to do everything I can to not support it. I'm going to do everything I can to disregard every rule I can get away with disregarding, as long as it's not going to get me thrown in prison. You know, I'll just do everything I can to not support them. It becomes a case of a death of a million paper cuts. It's got to have legitimacy. They got to have the people buying into it. And what you're going to have here is this crisis of legitimacy. When the people say that's not working any longer, I don't know what it's going to look like, but I do know that when you have an absolute case of undeniable, illegitimate rulers, government, it won't stand. It can't stand. You're going to wind up with some sort of change. It will collapse in on itself. They have to have the people buying into it and saying, well, we've got some sort of ownership. We're getting something out of it. When you hit the point that the people say, yeah, no, it doesn't matter. These people don't care anything. They're just ruling over us. And we don't like them, and they don't like us. It can't hold together. Believe me, they're vastly... I'm not even talking about some sort of America. America conservative fantasy about an armed rebellion against the government. I'm telling you, there are multiple times more of the people than there are of them. It doesn't take an armed rebellion against the government. It takes those multitude times more of the people just not cooperating any longer. Maybe not in big ways, just in little ways. When there's multitudes of people just quit cooperating. Just not going along with any of it. It all comes crashing down. They have to have the people buying into the system. And as they continue, just flip the bird at people and say, we don't care anymore. We're not even going to pretend to represent you. Who's going to buy into that? How much longer can they keep people buying into this so-called idea of democracy? We're going to wrap up on that note. Appreciate you joining. Hope you enjoyed the discussion. I thought it was a fun discussion. I enjoyed having it with you. I'll be back tomorrow with my Parish of the Patriots program. I hope you get a chance to check that out. Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson will be here Wednesday, the Orthodox Nationalist, one of our most popular shows, by the way, here in Radio Albion. Dr. Johnson will be back Thursday with his geopolitical-centered Daily Nationalist, which is always informative. And I'll plan to be back here on Friday to wrap up your week with a look at things going on in the week from a more humorous perspective, although I kind of look at these things in a humorous manner anyway, so that's kind of default position. So I hope you'll get a chance. Check everything out. Hope you have a good work week. As always, keep the faith. We'll see you next time.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.